This is Rebecca Payne reading her story in three parts, Ghost Town, for Streets Unmasked. Part 1, Ghost Town.
People stopped coming. 16th of March, 2021. Dave sighed and leaned back, stretching his sandaled feet out in front of him, the crest of his helmet brushing slightly through the wall. He'd been coming to the same spot every afternoon for the last 1,700 years, give or take. Well, he said it was the same spot. That was what he told the new members of the Dearly Departed and Lingering Spooks. In reality, of course, it couldn't have been exactly the same spot. He'd spent a lot of time here in the before times, stationed at the gate into Ibarakum. It was probably that habit which kept this place on his daily schedule, even though the gate was long gone, pushed half a mile down the road as the walls of the city expanded. He'd seen it all here. He took it as a personal compliment that both the Anglo-Saxons and the Vikings had chosen this as a location for their palaces. Sometimes, Ivar the Boneless came over from his usual haunt on Coppergate to reminisce about those times with Dave. They'd been replaced, of course, as everything eventually was, with a church, then shops, and now Dave had a museum to wander around. His square had also become a hotspot for street entertainers and tourists. Dave enjoyed people watching. That was, until the people stopped coming. It happened almost overnight. The city was facing its usual winter hibernation, those quieter months following the heaving crowds, bright lights and steaming hot drinks that the Christmas markets brought. But just when those crowds should have been returning, they didn't. It had unnerved Dave at first. Without any people to watch, he began to wander more and more around the city he'd called home for almost two millennia. It was the same everywhere, and his fellow dearly departed and lingering spooks all had the same question. Where are all the before people? After so many years, Dave found it hard to keep track of time in the short term, so he couldn't say how long it was until the before people began to emerge. It was just select groups at first. The green zoomies, zippy ones in green jackets who carried big boxes on their backs, and a few of those ghost tour guides who dressed out of their time and walked around trailing groups of people, mangling the stories of Dave and his fellow spooks. The groups took a while to return. Initially, these guides just shouted at a single person pointing various gadgets at them. Dave had no time for these people. If he wanted to know about Ivar or Marmaduke or any of the others these so-called guides hammed up, he'd just go ask them. But with the hot weather, the crowds returned, perhaps more crowdier than ever before. Some now covered their faces with various items. Dave never had been able to keep up with the trends, nor did he really care to. But once more, the city was bustling, and Dave was able to spend his days watching the buskers sing and dance and balance on unicycles. He spent his evenings visiting restaurants and watching the drunks stagger along the uneven streets. Sometimes, he even tagged along on a ghost tour just to scoff, heckle, and provide the correct version of events. Not that anybody could hear him, most of the time. There was a curious blip in November. There were no actual markets at Christmas, but Dave had more or less forgotten the weird happenings of the previous spring. The Christmas lights were on, and the city's pubs and shops flooded with people just as before. But then, it hit again. True, January always was a quieter month, but things didn't usually shut down completely. The green zoomies were still out in full force, more this time, and the tour guides were still frequently giving tours to nobody in particular. The odd busker played to empty streets, not knowing they had a grateful audience of dearly departed and lingering spooks. Turned out, it was just another disease. It made a lot of sense. Dave had seen pandemics before, and this one seemed to be the most civilised one yet. The plague visitation of 1604 still haunted him. Bodies in the streets. One third of the city joining either the dearly departed or the lingering spooks. Dave thanked all the gods he knew, Roman, Saxon, Viking and modern, that this was not 1604. There were no bodies in the streets, even if there was often no body in the streets. One change Dave had made to his routine was the special efforts he'd made to visit Mary since the vanishing. She was a sweet child, most of the time, and loved waving to the groups that huddled around those stupid tour guides that never failed to stop outside her house, or the tourists who stood across the road gawping at the looming Minster. The end of her before times had been one of loneliness and isolation. Locked up in her house as the rest of her family had died from the bubonic plague. Dave hadn't told her the real reasons why the before people had disappeared. He'd seen her distress during the cholera outbreaks and the Spanish flu. No matter how long she'd been a lingering spook, the fear that must have consumed her final days never truly left her.
Part 2, 99 Bells.
April 12th, 2021. Lieutenant Jeff Monroe was bored. The Golden Fleece was shut. Again. It was the third time in over a year, and, in his opinion, it was getting ridiculous. The pub hadn't even closed when there'd been a war on, for God's sake. He should know. He died there. Jeff hadn't been one for wandering. He'd never seen the point. But it only took a month or so of having no other company than his fellow dearly departed and lingering spooks for him to venture outside on a more regular basis. It wasn't that he disliked his fellow residents. Ordinarily, they all managed to get along just fine. Lady Alice tended to mind her own business. One-Eyed Jack could be a right laugh. And even old Frank could be bearable. But, of course, not only were there no drinkers in the pub or holidaymakers in the guest rooms, but they hadn't had any ghost hunters to play with either. Well, Jeff called it playing. But, whatever the term, many of the spooks would never get bored of it. What else were you meant to do when people barge in shouting for signs and the like, but to mess with them a bit? Like an invisible cat swiping an obnoxious mouse. Still, the quiet gave Jeff more time to spend with spooks elsewhere in the city. He knew about the pandemic. He just found it hard to care about a disease he knew couldn't hurt him. There had been a brief moment that had filled Jeff with an uncomfortable mixture of terror and excitement, when the dearly departed and lingering spook population had thought the city, or even the country, was at war. Without any apparent warning, the Minster had begun to toll. 99 haunting, ominous booms of its largest bell. The older spooks ran to the city walls. Those closer to Jeff's age gazed up into the skies. The smartest, and often the youngest, merely wandered around until they found one of the living watching the news. There was no war, just another person joining the dearly departed and lingering spooks. It wasn't long before Jeff was restless again. All around, the city was coming back to life. Bars, restaurants, cafes, shops, all reopening their doors. Sunshine bathed the ancient buildings and crooked streets, and every expanse of grass. The banks of the walls, parks and churchyards were ablaze with colour. Yet still, the Golden Fleece remained closed, and so Jeff was forced to wander. Sometimes, he pretended he was one of them, brushing down his blue tunic and adjusting his hat before striding out into the streets. Now that fewer people were wearing face masks, he felt less incongruous, despite his military uniform. He queued for shops he couldn't buy things in, sat in cafes he could never drink at. The city felt alive, and he fed off that, revelling in the crowded streets. The buskers were out in force, and boats once again chugged up and down on the river. Jeff even saw a fight, an altercation between two men devolving into a full-on brawl on the riverside. He tried to join in, but when hardly anybody can see, hear, or feel you, a bar fight lost some of its enjoyment.
You know, if you're struggling, Marmaduke Buckle started a group. Just a casual thing, a bunch of spooks meeting up once a week to hang out, chat about the before people, that sort of thing. Dave the Roman had said to him one evening as they sat on Ouse Bridge, watching the revellers along King's Snaith. Jeff took a drag on the cigarette he never had to light, exhaling a cloud of impossible smoke as he shook his head. A tourist, taking photos of the river, gave a small cough and looked around in confusion.
Nah, come on, Dave, you know that's not my style. Mom loves the before people. Those guys miss them. They formed that group because they're lonely without them.
He habitually tapped non-existent ash into the river below. Dave took his helmet off before turning to look at Jeff. He knew Jeff couldn't take him seriously with it on.
And you're not. I've never seen you outside the Golden Fleece so much since you're one of the before people.
Since I was alive, Dave. Since I was alive, never seen the point in wandering much. I'm a soldier from a war that's long done, stuck thousands of miles away from home. Golden Fleece is all I've got.
Dave raised an eyebrow.
You realise you're talking to Davidus Anabara Scavolia of the League of Four Victrix. Aside from the age gap, we're not that different, you and I.
2,000 years is one hell of a gap, though.
It's not quite as much as...
I get your point, buddy. I just miss scaring them. Nobody comes to stop in the most haunted pub in the UK without wanting a few good scares.
They came back before. They'll come back again. They always do. Not long now. Trust me.
Part 3. Death Time.
20th of May, 2021. The cinema had done what Dave would never be able to do. It had finally come back to life. He liked to wander up there regularly. The tall brown building sat just outside the city walls, on, in part quite literally, what Dave had known as a calcarea road. Of course, it had a new modern name, but old habits die hard. Partly, he liked to visit the cinema to catch up with the spooks that called it their haunt. Partly, he enjoyed the odd film. Partly, he came to pay his respects to the men and women from, approximately, his time and place, whose graves littered the area.
Well, this is a surprise. Don't usually see you out and about during business hours.
Dave greeted Eric, who was leaning against the wall at the bottom of the stairs as he entered the building. Eric tipped his hat at the Roman. Hey, they've got a lot of new starters, and I could tell the girl cleaning my screen was already uncomfortable being there on her own. Didn't want to risk spooking her, so figured I'd break the habit of a death time. Besides, look at this! Grinning, he took his hat off and used it to gesture round the bar area. After seeing the old girl so empty for so long, isn't the buzz just beautiful? Dave had to admit he was absolutely right. Customers sat at over half the tables. The staff went around taking orders like bees hopping from flower to flower. Tall boss lady was at the door, greeting customers and guiding staff like the conductor of a complex orchestra. Craig was sat on the counter, legs dangling through a sink,
as he watched his two favourites preparing and sending out orders from the bar, effortlessly moving around each other as if practising an elaborately choreographed dance. The street outside was a constant flow of people, groups of all sizes out to have fun, no longer just lone travellers with places to be. And the smells, oh, how they both missed the smells. The fresh popcorn and coffee, the sizzling of burgers, and the sweet aroma of freshly baked cookies. That first day things had begun to return to normal had been one of the best days Eric had known for a while. He never lost that familiar little thrill that ran through him every time he turned the corner of the grand staircase with its beautiful red carpet and saw the bar in the middle of the foyer, like the little box office of his day was now all grown up. The popcorn machines had been dark and empty, but tall boss girl stood in front of one of the tills, frowning over some paperwork. The cinema wasn't open yet, but things looked promising. By this point, it had been 5 months since Eric had last watched a film, and even then, that had been Wonder Woman 1984. Over and over and over again. The venue had been a buzz of activity for weeks now, with tall boss girl having been around again for even longer. He'd walked up behind her to peer at the screen over her shoulder. He didn't particularly understand how technology worked now, but he'd figured out how to read the till screen. 8:50. Down the left-hand side of the screen was a full day's worth of films. Finally, he was going to have something to watch. Starting with Peter Rabbit 2. Well, there were worse options. The first one hadn't been bad. Not patched on the books, though. Tall boss girl straightened up suddenly. Paperwork done. Causing Eric to leap backwards before she touched him. He knocked into the coffee machine, causing stacked mugs to clatter against each other. Tall boss girl jumped. No. Stop. Not today, she'd said firmly. Eric apologised. She couldn't hear him.
So, seen any good films yet?
Dave asked, startling Eric out of his reminiscence. Eric shrugged. Yeah, not so bad. Dave's been enjoying stuff they've been showing down in his screen. Some exciting trailers coming up. Can't believe that James Bond fella's still going. I remember reading Casino Royale when it first came out. Back in before times. But you know what? I'd take nothing but the most awful films on repeat right now. It's all back, Dave. All those happy routines that filled my days. Sitting on the sofa that replaced the shoddy fold-down seats of my day. Reading this damn newspaper and off by art in between films. Wandering around the building and catching up with guys once the staff have gone home. He laughed. There's staff to go home. Something to actually make some sort of difference to place between night and day. Dave smiled, and for a few minutes the two men stood and watched the goings on in companionable silence, until Craig bounded over to them. "Aye, guys, you'll never guess what I just found out," he began, not waiting for an answer before launching into a particularly juicy piece of gossip. Dave found himself taking a step back and watching the pair, who had little more in common than the location of their chosen haunts. Eric, who loved nothing more than spending his days watching films, and Craig, who couldn't care less for the fictional escapades, but who got so invested in the lives of the before people who surrounded him. "I'll see you upstairs," he managed to sneak into a brief pause in Craig's tale before heading up to take his seat in Eric's screen. He knew Craig couldn't half talk. The cinema had been open for just over a week when something happened that took all the resident lingering spooks by surprise. They had a visitor. Paying customer. One of the dearly departed with a cinema ticket.
She shyly acknowledged the lingering spooks she saw, but otherwise kept to herself, silently walking alongside one of the before people as he made his way around the venue and in to watch a film. He even bought her a ticket, placing her photograph and a teddy in the seat next to him. She never said a word, but the man was overheard telling the staff how he'd promised to take his partner to see the film, having watched the trailer the week before she died. Even Craig was more subdued that day. But that was what the spooks loved about the cinema. For a bunch of dead people, they saw so much life. Both the glamorous, stylized life of the silver screen and the honest, raw life of the real people who sought solace within the walls of the building. And whilst they'd missed seeing so much whilst the before people were away, they found they had more time for each other instead. The spooks from across the city reclaimed the streets for themselves. When the before people had spoken of city centres becoming ghost towns, they'd had no idea how accurate they'd been.
That was Rebecca Payne reading her story in three parts, Ghost Town, for Streets Unmasked.